The last verse I want to give you today is Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything that God wants me to have and sees that I need, He will supply into my life. Because He shepherds me. Because He cares for me. Because He supplies my need. He is building. Still working on me. Amen? Take your Bibles and go with me to Psalms chapter 34. A couple weeks ago, we had a problem with the sound. And we'd done that a couple times before, and I knew what it was, kind of. And Jake and I discussed it, and somehow this little wire in the microphone gets a little spot in it or something, or a short. Maybe it's the connection that goes to the box. The little box kind of holds the wireless. You can see the little box has a little antenna coming out of it, and here's the wire, and we replace this part all the way up to here. Now, the entire system was working fine. The speakers were fine. The microphones were fine. Even the little box is fine. But somewhere in that last bit of wire, there was a shorter problem. And it caused a lot of problems, didn't it, Jake? So much so that when I started the second service, I worked through it on Sunday school, and I just took it off and put it down. Wasn't going to work with that again in the next service. Try to focus on preaching against that. But Jake found the microphone that we could replace it. We've done this about four times now. I must break them every two or three years, I guess. But it just shows how when there's one little part of a system that's out of sorts, even though the rest of the system can be well and orderly and running well, that the one part can cause the success or the purpose of the system not to be able to function properly. And the church is all these parts, and you're the parts. And it is important. We've already mentioned in Sunday school that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what a blessing it would be to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and to say, all of my sins are confessed, and under the blood I can approach, bold I approach the eternal throne. Man, if we've got sin on our life and we've got things that are buried and hidden, and we're going to have some trouble. Now, a lot of times we'll say time heals everything. If time heals everything, what do we need God for? Amen? Just put some more time on it. Guess what? We only have so much time. I say put God on everything, not put time on everything. And it doesn't heal everything. Doesn't fix everything. And if you've got an old dead fish in your refrigerator, and you go, oh, we'll just give it some more time, that's not going to work out so well. And it's going to create quite a problem in your household. Pretty soon you won't want to have anything out of the refrigerator. Look with me in Psalms 34. I'm going to just review a little bit, and then we're going to continue. Let me read down through, and I want to read down through verse, I believe, 8, 9. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I was paying attention to the words of all the hymns we were singing this morning, and they were focused back on praising and worshiping God. They were focused back on giving glory to God. Sometimes we sing them, and we don't focus on it. We're not conscious of the words we're singing. I think it is a good help having good music, hymns and songs and hymns and spiritual songs that we can sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And when we say, I'll bless the Lord at all times, that I will always be praising Him. And I want to say that I'll always be praising Him. And I'll praise Him whenever things are mountaintop beautiful, bluebird day, it's perfect, and everything is going well. I'll certainly be able to praise Him on that day. But the emphasis and the most important part of this is that I will praise Him when I'm at the bottom of the ditch in the valley. And when there's a lot of problems and there's a lot of difficulties and I've received bad news and where people aren't cooperating and where I'm not getting the support I'd like to receive, and I will turn and I'll see the cross of Calvary, and it'll awaken in my mind a sense of awe and a sense of wonder and a sense of love, a sense of glory, and I will return praise to God in the prison. I will return praise to God in the pit. I will return praise to God in the lion's den. I will return praise to God on the worst day as well as on the best day. I'd like to say that this is a fountain of living water that flows out of us. It's primed. It's fixed by God. It's primed by the Holy Spirit. And it's functioning through the cross of Calvary. And praise should come out of my life. Now, sometimes just the opposite happens. We get caught up in complaining, and we get caught up in looking at the negative, and we get caught up in collecting the problems and the difficulties and the hardships and the sadness and the fear and the pain and the loneliness. And we collect all of that, and we're not full of glory and praise. We're full of dooming and naysaying and oh me and oh my. I want you to know that the very worst times are the very best times with God. I say the very worst times politically have been the very best times with God. It was the worst times politically in Israel when Jehoiakim would not praise God as the last king of Israel, and they're besieged by the Babylonians, and they carried away all the young people. And they just razed the city. Guess what happened where God's glory was concerned? It wasn't bound by politics. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gave glory and praise to God. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, is crying, anyone who doesn't worship their God, their house will be like a little dunghill. Place where you carry out your waste and your excrement and you dump it in a pile there, and that's their house, the dunghill. When we love God and we choose to look at the Lord and be lightened and helped and hoped, when we choose to be strengthened by following and obeying Him, our path is stronger and stronger. Our hands are full and ready. And He blesses into our lives. And the last blessing we should focus on is materialistic. The first blessing we should focus on is spiritual. He loads us down daily with benefits. And some of those benefits are forgiveness, and some of them are righteousness. And some of those are the gospel that we have to give and share. He loads us down daily, and sometimes we carry that load all day long instead of letting it flow. And letting it spread and letting others enjoy. Let me just share a couple scriptures here. In Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We have opportunity, we have the place, and we have the reason to stop and thank God. I want you to know that we should thank God each and every day. We should stop and thank God for Calvary and Jesus Christ. We should stop and thank God for saving grace. We should thank God for sustaining help and hope in life. We should thank God for His function and His work in our life. If God still punches your buttons and works on your conscience and convinces you and convicts you of sin, and He's still working on you and He's still pulling on you and He's still fighting for you, we should thank God. Are we that we fall into sin again and again and we fail Him again and again, and we come to right and wrong, and we do wrong, and God is still loving, and He's still caring, and He's still working on us. He's still the potter, we're still the clay. We should thank Him for His hands on us, for His continued involvement, for His love and His care. He's right down there. In every trial, in every situation, he's focused as a silversmith, and He's pulling off dross, and He's refining us, and He's purifying us. He's confirming us to the image of Jesus Christ, His Son. In verse 2, it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Paul said, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ. We've all got our personal prides, and we've got our little things where we think we're really something. But when we take it before God, all our righteousness is filthy rags. And we're nothing, and He's really something. And we make our boast in God. When we make our boast, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. When we make our boast, it's not, look what I did, or look what I have, or look at this about my family, or look at this. We are humble. We should be humble families, we should be humble humans, and we should be a humble church. Well, it'd be the publican church. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. We ought to be the ones that say, oh God, as I stand in the light of Jesus Christ, I see myself and I realize how much work I need. And I know You've been working for a long time, but there's a lot more to be done. I go, it doth not appear we shall be. But we're back to being like Him. We're back to being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Here, God is working on you. And He's working in your life to let a light shine that's not you. To let a light shine that is His dear Son, Christ. Look in verse 3. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. When we come together. When we come together for Sunday worship, a lot of the different parts of the service are for the express purpose of worshiping God. There's a worship in getting together and greeting God's people and having some fellowship together. There's a worship in coming together, called out of darkness into light, called out by His name. There's a worship in giving. There's a worship in the opportunity of giving what God has provided for you and giving it back. There's a worship in that. There's a measure of your spiritual temperature. There is a worship in singing together. There's a worship in somebody singing a special and all of us listening. And we're not singing to each other. And it's not singing as a form of entertainment. we're singing to God. That should open our hearts and usher us into the presence of God in a more intimate and personal way. That should push aside some of the cares and the distractions of this life. And we magnify the Lord together. And one person provides in a testimony time, and somebody else remembers, and then someone else remembers. And when it works in the way that God's Spirit falls over a congregation, it's like a fire that rushes across. And somebody says, well, praise God for this. Well, praise God for this. And we magnify God together. We'll look at him and we see how big he is and how powerful he is and how strong he is. And we see his might and his majesty and his glory and his dominion. And you know what it does to us? I must decrease that he might increase. And it shrinks us right down to size. And when we get right down to it, we're pretty small. Especially when we recognize how amazing and mighty God is. When we see him. We see him as he is. It's not only us that shrinks. Our problems shrink. And the cares of this world and the cares of this life and the problems of the day, they're but for a moment. They pass on and they're gone into eternity. But God stands, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. In 35:27, in Psalms says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. In Psalms 40:16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. We say, how does God get magnified? How can we magnify the Lord? We can praise him. We can love him. We can commune with him. We can contemplate and ponder. We can meditate. We can serve him. We could say, Lord, what will you have down and humbly pray on a daily basis and say, God, what do you have for me to do today? Sometimes we're waiting for something big to come along. We're waiting for a big situation. We're waiting for a big opportunity. Or we're waiting for something that we can do that will really seem like a great thing for God. And God says, be faithful and serve me and do all the little things that come along the way. My mom used to come and tell me, James, I really want to do something for God. And I'd say, Mom, the most important thing you can do for God right now is minister and care for your husband. I do that every day, and that's just part of my duties as a wife. No, it's the most important thing you can do to serve God. And sometimes we're looking for something big, and something big is already upon us. And we don't even. And sometimes things mean more to God than they mean to us. He looks and he sees that still small. He sees that little faithfulness that goes on steadily and steadily. He says, boy, I love that. Will you magnify the Lord with me? Will we praise his name together? In Psalm 69:30, I'll praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. In Luke 1:46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. In Acts 19:17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you magnify him? In Philippians, Apostle Paul said that he'd be magnified in my life, whether by life or by death. That he would be magnified. Sometimes we have to take second place or third place or fourth place when we're magnifying the Lord. And sometimes our selfishness gets in the way. I want you to know, when we set aside our personal pride, when we set aside our own baggage, when we set aside our agenda, when we set aside and confess our sins and we see God as he is and we magnify him and we glorify him and we say, oh, here, have dominion right here, right in my heart. Let not sin have dominion over me. Let God have dominion over me. Let not me be willful and wanton, but let me be humble and submitted. In my life, Lord, be magnified. In my heart, be magnified. In my home, be magnified. In my church, be magnified. Do you know him? Do we really know him? Are we standing in awe? I went down to Multnomah Falls the first time I ever seen it. I was with Pastor Jerry, and he was describing and talking about it. And I kind of looked over this way, and I seen it. And my mouth hung open for a minute. I had a description of it, and I understood it was going to be a waterfall, but I wasn't thinking of something that big. I was standing there in awe a little bit, awestruck. Now, when I go by and see it now, I'm not awestruck because I have a whole image and idea of it in my head. And I'm not expected. And sometimes we've seen God and we've been awestruck by him. And now we've gotten used to it. And we don't know him any deeper. We don't know him in the power of his resurrection. We don't know him in the manifestation of our living out of our lives. And we've lost the awe that we had of God. In verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. In Psalms 27, 1 and 2, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and foes, came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. In Psalms 46, 1 and 2, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried away in the midst of the sea. We're living in the midst of a pandemic that has the whole world frightened and shaking. And we have a place of refuge. We have a comfort. We know someone who actually can control the whole situation. We are so humbled by medical issues. We're so humbled by failures of the body. We're so humbled when things are not functioning and working right. My friend Jerry Wasson, his son was working on a four-wheeler and he had put it up on a milk crate so the back two wheels were off the ground. Because the wheels were off the ground, he had it running at just like idle, and the hub was spinning very slowly. And while the hub was spinning, he took off all the bolts and pulled the tire off. And he was doing something else, and he had on a flannel jacket in the fall. It was cold. And the flannel jacket kind of caught in the spoke that was moving very slowly. And he started to pull and bring himself back and tried to rip his flannel coat. And what happened was it started to bring his arm in. And the bones in his forearm went snap, snap, snap as it pulled around. He said he came out, he heard his son screaming. He came out and he got the thing stopped. And he looked at his forearm is now in a curve around the hub of that thing as it pulled tight. Snap, snap, snap went all these bones. And he said, I'm used to being the fellow that says, well, we don't go to the hospital for about anything. And the only thing he could think of was, we need to get to a doctor who can help us with this. That I was completely humbled when I saw him injured in that way. God help us that we can humble ourselves before him and not be humbled by circumstances. Not be humbled by the difficulties of life, but that we can just magnify him and we can see him as he is and we can humble ourselves before him. That we can kneel before the Lord our Maker. That we can bow by choice and we can submit because we want to, because we see him as he is. It says in Psalms 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he has also become my salvation. I rest my life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I rest my life upon the understanding that I see of him in the scripture. He's my song, he's my strength, and he's my salvation. He's the light of my life. He's a present help in time of trouble. He is everything that I need in every situation, and he's sufficient to every circumstance. I cry, help, Lord, like Peter did when he was sinking, and immediately they're in the ship. I say, God, can you fix this? And he's already fixed it before I even know what happened. As a God who rescues, he's a God who cares, he's a God who's present. He knows you. He knows your down setting, he knows your worst time, and he knows you're standing up, he knows your very best. And in spite of the ends of the two, he loves you. He loves you by choice, not by being compelled. He loves you, and he's chosen you, and he's given his son as a sacrifice for your sin. Not that you can just be saved, but that you can also have life and have it more abundantly. So that you can live a life in Jesus Christ, leaning on God the Father, magnifying and glorifying and praising him. What a blessing and an opportunity that God has dispensed unto us this grace. And it's new every morning. It's fresh oil anointed upon us. It's strength of youth. It's a blessing of life. It's courage and help. In 2 Corinthians 7:5, when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Sometimes God delivers us supernaturally. Sometimes God delivers us in Christian fellowship. Sometimes God delivers us by the intervention of another Christian. Here they are in Macedonia. They heard the cries. They come over and help us. They went over there, and man, they ended up in the prison. Now, they praised in the prison, and the jailkeeper was saved in the middle of the night. They had a lot of troubles over there. They had a lot of trouble doing the right thing. I say, oh, if you just do the right thing, everything will smooth out and God will make the road before you and it'll rise to meet you and the rain will fall on your field and nothing bad will ever happen. That's a bunch of hogwash. God is going to allow some things in your life that is going to make for his glory. And here's what happens in that situation. When we say, I trust God and I refuse to doubt and I refuse to be afraid, I'm going to trust and I'm going to give this to the Lord, he is honored and glorified in front of those who view our lives. When we say, I am not going to sink with the circumstances, I'm going to focus on the Lord. Those who are around, especially the closest. God is glorified in their eyes through our life. He says in Peter that our trials are more precious than gold. More precious than gold for God. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. It's interesting how fears work for us, isn't it? I read about a fella and he was taken off of the highway by some bandits. They took him into the woods and they blindfolded him and they put him on this long rope. And they were talking and they were telling him that they were on the edge of a cliff and that when they let go of him, he was going to swing out over the cliff. And they gave him a rope to hold on to. They said, as long as you hold on to this rope, you'll be safe. But when you let go, you're going to fall to your death on the rocks below. And I let go of the rope, and the guy swung out across, and he's holding on. And finally came a point where he couldn't hold on any longer, and his hand slipped off the rope. And guess what happened? He fell 6 inches. All they did was a little ploy to trick him. So that they had more time to escape. And the whole time he sat there holding on to that rope and sweating and in horrors and thinking about what was going to befall him. And then when he finally lost his grasp on the rope, he fell 6 inches. I want you to know, if God is watching over you, he doesn't keep us all from falling ever, but he keeps us from falling utterly and completely. He keeps us from falling in our salvation. And if he fall, he shall not be cast down. In verse 5, they looked unto him and were light, and their faces were not ashamed. In Psalms 123:1, it says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, the eyes of the servant look to the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden upon the hands of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Now, we think about time, and sometimes it presses heavy on us. And we will say, why didn't God do anything? Or why hasn't God intervened? God has a timing that's not exactly our timing. And we have to wait patiently for him. And while we're waiting, we'll recognize his glory and his power and his dominion. We'll recognize that we're in a little school. And that he's teaching us. And we look for his hands. We look for his activity. We look and see his involvement in circumstances and situations. We look and we see how he's working in our life personally. And if we don't look for his hand, many times we'll miss it. If we don't understand his involvement, many times it will pass us by and it'll pass by our recognition. We won't see God in the circumstances. We won't see God in the situations. We'll be saying, oh, I wish God would work here. And God's like, what are you talking about? I'm always working. I'm always working in every situation. I'm always working in every time, in every place. I'm always working on your behalf. Have you gotten so you can't see it? In Psalms 40:16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation continually say, the Lord be magnified. In verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I was thinking about this scripture here. My dad preached this verse at my friend Vern Gromley's funeral. I said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. We've already went back a few verses and seen that he delivered out of all of our fears, out of all our troubles. Now, when we get a good look at God, we recognize who's on our side. We recognize who's against us. We say, if God be for us, who can be against us? And Christ always gives us the victory. He always makes us to win in Jesus Christ. Go down to verse 34:7. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. In Psalms 91:11, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. It's one of the things the devil quoted back to Jesus. In Hebrews, we have the ministering spirits. In 2 Kings 16:17, we have the story with Elisha and his servant. And he's surrounded by the Syrian army. And the servant goes out to get the water in the morning and runs back in and says, Elijah, we're surrounded. And Elisha goes out and he says, well, there's more with us than there are with them. I want you to know that there's always more with us than there are with them. I says, the servant says, what are you talking about? There's more with us than there are with them. And Elijah prays and asks that his eyes will be opened. And he looks again and he receives a spiritual sight and he looks. And there's a Syrian army surrounding them. And surrounding the Syrian army are chariots and angels, and they all have flaming swords. In every situation, God is a majority. And surrounding him, it says the angels, and he prayed and asked God to blind the army of the Syrians, and God blinded them, and they led them to the king of Israel. In 2 Kings 19:35, there's an army of Assyrians surrounding 185,000. 185,000. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. It's 184,000. And when they arose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And see, this army of 185,000 Assyrians, some of the fiercest warriors on earth at that point, putting fear into the hearts of every enemy. 185,000 of them. That's enough to fill our Colosseum several times. It's an amazing amount of people. And the angel of the Lord went out there, and when they woke up in the morning, that whole host was dead. It's the same angel of the Lord that camps with them that fear God and delivers them. I say, we can be delivered. Sometimes we live like the beggar at the banquet. We live like the beggar at the banquet, and we don't realize the spread that is before us and the bounty and the gifts that God has provided. We live like a pauper instead of like the wealth that God has given us. Daniel's down in the lion's den, and the king comes and says, oh, Daniel, is your God, who you serve, continually able to deliver thee? And he says, my God has sent his angel, and he shut up the mouths of the lions and they have not hurt me. insomuch as before innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. In Matthew 18:10 says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. In Luke 16:22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died also and was buried. In Hebrews 1:14, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for to them who shall be heirs of salvation? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. You have a protection that is invisible and is supernatural and is powerful. It's stronger than what you exactly understand. The one angel went through the nation of Israel and killed 70,000, and he had his sword raised above Jerusalem, ready to destroy it. Don't get too enamored with the power of an angel when you have the power of God at your disposal also. Our God is able to deliver thee. The angel didn't direct it. God directed it. God sent the angel down to deliver Daniel. In verse 8 it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Try it. Try Jesus. Try righteousness. Try God. Try trusting. Try faith. Try living a Christian life. It is the best life anyone can live on earth. You look around and you see somebody living in evil. They're not happy. They're miserable. And all of their supposed joy and revelry and frolicking, it ends in misery. The devil shows the first and the beginning of things. He doesn't show the ending. He shows people drunk and out of their minds. He doesn't show once they went home and beat up the family. He doesn't show when they've cracked up the car. He doesn't show when they're getting hauled off to jail for a DUI. He doesn't show that the end of all sin is death. You have a blessing to live clean and pure in fellowship and enjoy God. Why wouldn't we live in that? Why would we choose to be miserable like we often do? Why would we choose to get all caught up in ourselves and forget about magnifying God? Forget about praising. Forget about worshiping. Forget about obeying. Forget about serving. Forget about loving. Every time you get to magnifying your problems, you're putting them above God. Every time you get to magnifying your fear, you're placing it beyond your faith. Every time that you get to magnifying the negatives of this world, you forget our Savior who's beautiful for situations. Every time you get consumed and ate up with fear for others, for your children, get ate up with fear for the others in your life. In Psalms 36:7 says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men do put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. In verse 10, it says, O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. In Zechariah 9:17, how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Corn to make the young men cheerful, new wine to the maids. In 1 John 4:7, 8, 9, and 10, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You can enjoy blessing, safety, comfort, help, deliverance, strength. You can enjoy fellowship. You can boldly say, the Lord's my helper. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The last verse I want to give you today is Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything that God wants me to have and sees that I need, he will supply into my life. Because he shepherds me. Because he cares for me. Because he supplies my need. He is building. Still working on me. Amen?
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.